The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day Feature, and this is episode 141 with Jamel Gibbs. And in this episode, Jamel's going to get into his first deal and how he was able to come up with some creative financing to get it done. And so really, really great story. He was able to do some really cool things for his family and still is building his real estate empire. And so episode 141, Jamel Gibbs, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day Feature. Let's get into it.
You mentioned that you started investing out of state, and this is like before it became cool, before we had all this technology, before we had all these resources where we could do it all remotely and everything. Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through that? Like, what made you consider Pennsylvania at that time, as opposed to like, you know, New York, which back then was probably still probably felt expensive. But walk us through that.
Yeah, that's a great question, man. Nobody ever asked me. You know, it's interesting because, you know, they call it virtual wholesaling or virtual real estate. And I was doing it without even thinking about it. You know, a lot of stuff, and you know, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but a lot of, you know, we've done a lot, you know, especially as an African-American male, black male, coming from the hood, we got to know how to hustle. Right. So they say, if you want to find greatness, go to the hood. Right. Because people are creative and they will find a way to be able to put food on the table. Case in point, I used to work in a barbershop. I owned a barbershop. Right after we would close up, I would go borrow a cab because I didn't have a car. I would go borrow a cab from the cab service, pay the guy $65, drive cabs till 4 o'clock in the morning, and then gas up, and then go home, go to sleep, then go right back to the barbershop. Guess what they call that today? They call it Uber. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, or what's the other car service where you can rent and they get deliveries and stuff like that? I can't remember Lyft. The name. It might be Lyft, one of those car services. But the point is, we find creative ways to do things, right? So virtual real estate investing, going back to your question, my sister-in-law, she moved out to Pennsylvania. She bought a house in a Reading area. We would go visit. So as we would visit, I'm naturally driving around town. I have a real estate eye, I have a real estate bug. And I'm like, oh, I can take over this whole town. And that was on my mind. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start buying houses here. This is a whole different area. So yeah, I was living in Brooklyn and bought my first couple of pieces of real estate before I left Brooklyn virtually. And it was a 2-hour drive. It wasn't, I don't know if I would call it virtual because I was commuting back and forth. But, you know, at the end of the day, they call it virtual real estate investing today until I actually moved into the area.
Got it. What was that experience like for you? Just, you know, not necessarily being there every day and all the time. Did you have a hard time knowing that, hey, I'm sleeping here in Brooklyn, anything could be happening in Pennsylvania? Like, what was that like? I know a lot of out-of-state investors, that's something that they deal with, or some people where they live is too expensive. They don't even consider investing out of state because of that. So can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't think about it, man. I didn't see, I when I first started, and even today, I'm still the same way. I don't think about anything. I just do it. And then I figure it out as I go on. That's just one of my personality traits. I don't know if that can be taught, but when you're hungry enough and when you're not thinking about yourself and when you put other people on your back and you know you have to support other people, you don't think about what ifs. You think about how can I, right? Mm-hmm. So you start doing, you jump out the window. You just take the risks. So for me, I didn't think about what was happening. I didn't worry about the properties. I was more concerned about how can I get more, right? Versus, you know, what if this tenant, you know, what if this tenant calls me at 2 o'clock in the morning? I didn't think about that stuff. And to be honest with you, if you treat people the right way, and I learned this very, very young, if you treat people the right way, people will take care of you. And no matter what their situation is, hey, I'm going to be late on rent today. Okay, that's not a problem. You know, when can we talk? I won't charge you a fee. That's taking care of somebody, right? If you take care of people, they will take care of you. They'll make sure you're straight. And that's kind of how I always operate in my business. That's why I've never been to court in real estate. And I don't want to say wow. It's never going to happen, but I had over a couple thousand deals at this point. I've never, ever, ever been to court regarding a real estate transaction. The only time I've ever been to court is when I took one person to court. It was the first time. It was last year. I took a contractor to court because he tried to get over on the contract that we had from some money that I paid him. That was the only time I've ever had a court case. But again, if you take care of people, you don't have to worry about all of that other stuff. And then you can keep your blinders on and focus on what's more important, getting more deals, man.
Love it. Love it. So you mentioned earlier too that you were able to scale up pretty quickly in the Reading area. What type of financing were you using back then? I know there was a period of time where if you were breathing, you can get a mortgage. So what were you getting those kind of deals? Like, what was the financing like at that time?
Honestly, when I moved to Reading, I had decent credit because I built my credit score back up. So I started off with some FHA mortgages and things like that to get my first couple of rental properties. And then very shortly after that, Steve introduced me to some people who became private money lenders. And that just, you know, after that, sky was the limit. You know, I got offered, you know, they saw how much hustle I had in me. And, you know, she just lent me money and that was it. You know, honestly, I had a really good reputation for doing what I say I was going to do all the time, even if it hurts. And that's kind of my motto. Do what you say you're going to do all the time, even if it hurts. Right. Case in point. So this person owned a title company in the area and she would lend money to investors. I remember when the market tanked, I had tons of money out there that, you know, there was no way I was going to be able to pay her back her money. But I found a way to pay her back her money. I could have filed bankruptcy on the business and that would have been I would have walked away and that would have been that. But do what you say you're going to do all the time, and even if it hurts, right? You don't leave people cold turkey like that. Paid her back every last red cent. You know what she did? She turned around and gave me a larger line to help me get back on my feet after the fact because I did what I said I was going to do. We're still close friends today because I did what I said I was going to do. If I need anything, she's there because I did what I said I was going to do, right? So you don't burn relationships. You don't burn bridges. That's part of being in business, right? Don't worry about yourself first. Take care of other people and they'll take care of you. I said that already, right?
Yep. Definitely. So it sounds like, you know, you're able to use private money and different creative strategies to scale up. And I think you mentioned you purchased like a couple hundred properties in the area. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a couple of hundred in the Reading area. I did pretty well with that. And that wasn't all through, they call it the, that wasn't all through creative finance or using private money on all of them. It was a mixture of both. I built up a nice portfolio. They call it the BRRRR strategy now, which means that you're buying a house, you're rehabbing a house, renting a house, refinancing a house, and then repeating, right? They call it BRRRR. That was the way to really get paid. That was I don't know who made up the name BRRRR, but we've been doing that forever. The point of me saying that is that was one way to do it. And then once I was over leveraged, I had to find other ways to buy real estate. My first creative deal was a lease option deal. And then I found out about owner financing. And then I kind of started combining all of these things together to use creative ways to buy real estate. And real estate to me, honestly, is one of the best businesses to be in because you can negotiate anything. Literally, as long as it's legit, you can negotiate it. And as long as you ask for it and you know how to put it together and then you get an attorney or a title company to close the deal, you can make anything happen. And I've taken the skills from real estate investing and applied it to buying laundromats. For example, we make seller finance offers on laundromats, car washes, things like that, right? You can apply the same strategies from real estate into the business world to be able to buy cash cows. And, it's just a skill that you need. You need to understand negotiation. You need to know how to put these deals together. You'll be fine.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.